do you have a boss right now? And they say, yes. And I said, do you know who this individual is? And they say, yes. Everyone is my boss. The bank some days might be my boss. You might be the first one in and the last one out. You might not always be the boss. For me, being an entrepreneur is a lifestyle.
Welcome to the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. My name is Kerwin Donis. My brothers and I got into real estate investing to achieve financial freedom and help underserved communities in Guatemala, where our mom is from. Real estate is the vehicle we're taking to achieve our goals, and you can too. On this show, we share the stories of some of the most successful real estate investors to show you that you can succeed in real estate just like they have. Each episode, we deliver inspiring and educational content that will empower you to launch your real estate investing career and achieve your financial goals. Let's go. Bill Hamm is the Chief Operating Officer and the driving force behind Broadwell Property Group, and he's the author of Creative Cash, the complete guide to master lease options and seller financing for investing in real estate. Bill used to be a corporate pilot, where he flew for 5 years. However, as the person in the driver's seat, he came to a shocking realization about the reality of being an employee in the industry he was in. After connecting with friends in real estate, he got the bug and started to go down the real estate rabbit hole.
I have actually been in real estate for 16 years now. I started in 2005. Prior to that, I was a corporate pilot by trade. I came out of college and it was sort of pre-2011. So I became a flight instructor. I was a pilot, corporate pilot. And I went through the flight instructor academy, became a flight instructor, got stuck being a flight instructor for a little longer than I had planned to because of the 9/11 attacks, and ultimately became a corporate pilot instead of going for Delta, which was my main job. I flew corporate for about 5 years until I realized that the important people were actually sitting behind me. Now, a pilot is really important from like takeoff to landing, not so important on the ground. I was kind of burning out with that, being told where to go, when to go there, what to do. I loved flying the airplanes. I just didn't like being told when and where to fly the airplanes. And I was hanging out with some friends of mine, and I saw them flipping houses. And they were making more money in one or two house flips than I was making working all year long. And I thought, wait a second, these are friends of mine. They're idiots. We were all sitting at the bar last night. These are just normal guys, right? We're all doing the same things. We're all living the same lives. And you're making so much more money than I am in real estate. Here I am, I'm going to work. Here they are enjoying themselves. And I thought, something's wrong with this picture. So I spent about a year studying, reading books, anything I could get a hold of information-wise. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what kind of information to get. You know, I started where everybody does, rich dad, poor dad, and all that good stuff. And spent about a year studying. And I closed my very first deal. It was a duplex. It came with seller financing. So I got, I'm not going to say no money down, but I got seller financing on it. I had saved up $10,000 to my name. That's all I had. And the duplex was cash flow, $300. I turned in my 2-week notice and walked away from the career with that right there. And I went into real estate full time. And for better or for worse, I'm still here 16 years later.
For Bill, his path to real estate began with a desire to take back control of his life.
I don't know that it was necessarily real estate specifically that attracted me. That was probably more of just luck. I believe what truly attracted me to the scenario was business. I really enjoyed the art of business. And I think, you know, listeners here need to understand that real estate is just a product. If you are not in business, if you don't understand business, the product is irrelevant, right? So I was just studying this product and I saw my friends doing it. And so that is sort of a monkey see, monkey do scenario. And it could have been anything. It could have been widgets or rocket ships. I don't know. But if it wasn't flying, I was good. And I think it was the freedom. Maybe, you know, watching these guys with the freedom that they had, making good money and doing something they truly enjoyed. And I enjoyed flying. I just didn't enjoy the job of flying. And so I took the inspiration, studied, and just went for it.
Bill launched into the real estate space without knowing everything. It's important to get educated, but you need to avoid getting stuck in analysis paralysis. Bill avoided this by taking imperfect action.
I probably didn't know enough to be concerned or afraid of about things I didn't know. Let me also give the listeners here a little bit of a carve out. I was 28 years old. I had no children. I was not married, and I really didn't have a whole lot of debt. So I don't want people to get over inspired and make some sort of rash move in the job just because you heard someone else do it. It was the right move for me, but it might not be the right move for you at the moment. And I teach, and I have a lot of students in real estate, and I teach business and real estate all over the country. And, you know, one of the main things that I like to teach is what I call shock zone and comfort zone. We need to get out and stay out of our comfort zone, but not all the way over into our shock zone. Shock zone is too far. You know, that's like some kind of crazy New Year's resolution or some kind of crash diet or, you know, massive exercise program you're going to go get out on. This you just don't maintain. So it's a function of slow and steady. You should be uncomfortable, but not so far that you can't maintain it. So for me, quitting the job was getting out of my comfort zone, but that might be a shock zone for some of you. So that was kind of what it was for me. And it was just about commitment. You know, I just decided to do it. So I don't know that I had a whole lot of fears. The fears and the concerns came later on after I realized what I was into. But yeah, it was good. And just went for it. You know, and sometimes in life, that's what you got to do. Just go for it.
Robert Helms and Russell Gray have a phrase that comes to mind: education for effective action. Bill's first step was to get the knowledge required to set himself up for success in real estate.
Education, and I swear by the education today. You know, it's like I always tell people, you are going to get an education. It's not a function of whether you're going to pay for the education either. It's a question of who do you pay and how much do you pay. You can hire a mentor, you know, you can take seminars, you can read books, you can do whatever you want. But be prepared to get an education and know that you're going to pay for it. What I do not recommend is that you just do like I did and run out on the street after reading a few books and just start making it up, because that tuition is very expensive. You know, mistakes are very expensive. So definitely get out there and get an education from someone who can be prepared to pay for it. But my tip here, when working with a mentor or someone that teaches, do your homework. There are a lot of people out there who are not who they say they are. So I strongly, strongly recommend that anybody, you know, listening to this that wants to go out and get an education, don't just sign up with the first person that has a good advertisement or promises you riches or, you know, millions or this, that, and the other and this kind of stuff. I'm personally allergic to the word millionaire. So you start throwing that word around, I'm out of here. But that's my recommendation. Get an education, but be careful.
Like most newer investors, Bill faced some common challenges, but he learned a lot from these obstacles, and they prepared him for what was to come.
That was probably all harder than I thought, to be honest. Yeah. When I got started, I think one of the hardest things for me was a lack of credibility, lack of experience. And so I was brand new to real estate. And finding partners, finding people to help me grow that business was difficult because I was brand new. And everybody kind of had that, well, you've never done this before comment or attitude about me being new to the business. So the way I got started in real estate was through a ton of creative financing. And I've written a book on this subject, and I teach a lot of information on creative financing, such as like seller financing or lease options. So what I want everybody here listening to understand is that I learned how to be a problem solver. And that was probably one of the biggest challenges was learning how to solve someone's problems while also making money for myself. But that's probably the best tip I can give you is really learn how to solve someone else's problems and in exchange, get access to their real estate. And that's how I started. I did my first 402 units without ever using a proper bank. I was able to close with some sort of creative financing, seller finance. I did a lot of refinances into banks, but I did not use a bank to purchase those first 402 units.
Bill's first deal was acquired through a creative financing strategy he knew. This particular strategy helped close the deal and provide the sellers with a unique opportunity that made Bill an attractive buyer.
So it was a duplex. It was cash flowing about $300 a month if nothing broke. I got into the deal because it was a very good friend of mine. He was one of these people that we were talking about that was flipping houses, and he was into flipping. And he had gone in and renovated and leased this duplex. And because he had good equity in it, he was able to give me short-term seller financing. And I was able to then ultimately refinance at a bank and pay off his loan, and therefore converting into a long-term bank loan after getting in with seller financing. The mistake I made here, and I want to share this, is I only analyzed the deal from the perspective of cash flow. I said, you know, the books all said if you get a couple $100 in cash flow per unit, that's a good deal, this, that, and the other. Yes, I agreed. Hold on. I didn't stop and pay attention to the fact I was actually overpaying the duplex. And so that was my very first mistake in real estate, was not to place the deal into the context of the market. I only analyzed it from cash flow. What I found out later on was that I paid about $42,000 for the duplex, if I remember correctly. Everybody else was paying about $20,000 for duplexes in the neighborhood. So I'm not gonna say I got ripped off by my friend, but I didn't do my homework. And so I massively overpaid for the asset by only approaching it from the income approach, not all the other ways of looking at real estate. So my first deal, my first challenge, and probably one of my first largest mistakes.
Every investor has some hiccups at some point on their journey. Bill made some mistakes during his early years in real estate, but they made him a better real estate investor today.
Biggest failure, if I had to think about that, I would say two biggest failures. One, and this is something I would share with everyone, not being willing to fail. Not being prepared to fail and not being willing to fail is the largest failure anyone can have. And that's a comment to everyone. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. Be ready for that. It's okay. Just don't quit or don't fail before you even get started because you're afraid of failure. And that's what holds most of us back. We get too nervous. You know, we want to sit in the driveway and wait for all the lights to turn green before we back out of the driveway. We want everything to be perfect before we actually take action. There is never a perfect time. There is only right now. Probably my failure would have been arrogance. Fast forward some years, I'm now looking at this large multi-million dollar apartment complex. It was 200 and some odd apartments, I believe. And I thought arrogantly that I had a better network than I did. And so the lesson here I want to tell everybody is a stack of business cards does not make a network. Relationships make a network. And so I was good at gathering business cards, not so good at following up, not so good at actually developing the relationships. And so what happened to me was I went out to raise money for this deal and I failed. I was calling these people up and I hadn't heard, they hadn't heard from me in a year or so. You know, they had forgotten who I was. I had the business card. And if I had continued to nurture the network, I probably would have found the situation to be what it was. So I got into the deal thinking I can raise all this money. I was wrong. Lost $150,000 in earnest money one afternoon. That was a bad day, but not even my biggest failure. The biggest failure came right after that when I took it too personally. I wasn't prepared for the failure. So therefore, I took the failure too seriously, and then I reacted too emotionally to the failure, and I sat on the sidelines, you know, crying over spilled real estate money or spilled earnest money, basically, right? And now I'm missing the market cycle. You know, it was a great time to be buying real estate, and I should have been putting my hands on every piece of it that I could get my hands on. And I missed a lot of good opportunities because I was emotionally set back from the loss. So that's why I really kind of want everyone to understand that business is not that hard. It psychologically can be very difficult. And as I tell my students, there's only one real estate deal you ever have to worry about closing, and that's the 6 inches. It's that deal. All the rest of them can be dealt with. So take care of that first.
As he mentioned, Bill is currently expanding his multifamily portfolio, and he's been very successful in acquiring apartments. In fact, he's taking advantage of the current market, and he's now a full-time real estate investor.
Now I'm a full-time syndicator. I own and operate multifamily apartments. My partners and I have created a portfolio of over 1,000 units. I've been selling a lot of those lately as the market has been great for selling. So that's what I do full-time now. I have created a management company, own and operate these multifamily deals, and I'm buy and sell apartments, and that's what I do for a living.
Today, Bill's focused on acquiring multifamily properties. He has built a great business and uses problem solving as an asset to offer sellers with options that benefit everyone involved.
I would say problem solving is actually my superpower in real estate. Now, problem solving allows me to gain access to creative financing, such as master lease options, partnerships, debt partnerships, equity partnerships, and things of that nature. So I'd say my superpower is problem solving. But I'll give you a tip there. I've created what I call the SPY technique. And that stands for seller, property, you, S-P-Y, SPY. That's how you want to look at a deal. And that's how you want to analyze a property. Let's sit down and look at the seller first. What does the seller need? What do they want? What motivates that seller? Then let's look at the property. Okay, now what's going on with the property? How do we solve that problem? Lastly, we think, is this right for us and what do we want? When I see students fail the most at creative financing, it's because they actually reverse the model. They think, what is good for me? What do I want? What do I need? Then they stop and look at the property and say, okay, what's going on with the property? And then lastly, almost as an afterthought, they remember there's a seller involved. And that's a mistake. A good deal in real estate, at least, is 90% seller, 10% real estate. You have the best real estate deal in the whole wide world, but if the seller's not motivated to sell, you've got nothing.
Bill uses creative financing as a tool in his tool belt. It allows him to offer sellers more options when it comes to selling their properties. Now, if you've ever heard of seller financing or lease options, it's probably been regarding single-family real estate. However, Bill has employed these strategies to acquire large 100-plus unit apartment complexes.
Seller financing is basically exactly what it sounds like. It's where the seller is carrying the mortgage. So now to do that, the seller has to have 100% equity. So they themselves cannot have a mortgage. But if a seller has owned a property for long enough and they have full equity, then they can provide seller financing, meaning they can be the mortgage holder for you. If a seller does have a loan, then you have to do what's called a master lease option. And that's we could do a whole webinar strictly on that one subject, but it is, in short, renting the entire apartment complex with the right to buy it someday in the future. So you're going to borrow it to fix it up with a right to buy it in the future. If you're dealing with, say, houses or single units, it's just a lease option. We only put this master word in when we're talking about multiple units. So if you're familiar with a lease option, it's the same thing.
Real estate has changed Bill's life, but he has a unique perspective on what freedom of time means for real estate investors and entrepreneurs at large.
It impacted my lifestyle in the sense, I want to tell you that it has set me free, but actually it's quite the opposite. I think that most people in the world have a misunderstanding about freedom. And I talk about this a lot when I talk to people, and they say, I don't want to be free. And I say, okay, well, what does that mean to you? And they say, well, I don't want to have a boss. Hold on. Do you have a boss right now? And they say, yes. And I say, do you know who this individual is? And they say, yes. And I go, well, hold on. In my world, everyone is my boss. The tenant some boss. The bank some days might be my boss. The deal might be my boss. So if you don't want to have a boss, stay at your job. Don't come out here and be an entrepreneur, because you must be in service to the business, which means you might be the first one in and the last one out. You might not always be the boss. And then they say, well, you know, I want freedom. And I say, okay, do you get to go home at 5 o'clock? Yes. Do you get nights and weekends off? Do you get 2 weeks a year vacation? Yes. Then you're free then. For me, being an entrepreneur is a lifestyle. It's something we do all day, every day. It never turns off. So I really couldn't tell you that it is freedom from work. It is freedom to work harder than you probably ever would have in your job, but you're working for you. That's the big difference. You're doing it for you, your family, your legacy, not someone else's. So that's really probably how it's impacted me the most, is it's allowed me to kind of take responsibility for my own direction in life and not to be beholden to someone else's direction. So I would say that's probably the biggest way to do it.
Bill is a teacher, and he has great resources that he uses to teach other people about how to buy apartments using creative financing strategies.
Teaching usually. I like teaching. Yeah, I love teaching. You know, don't tell anybody, but I'd probably do it for free if they ask. But I do get paid. I do get paid well to teach, but I love it. I love teaching. It's something that I think comes naturally, and I enjoy it. I've written one book called Creative Cash. It's available on Amazon, and that is on the subject of creative financing. And I've even now written a second book, which will be coming out in October. But I love teaching. I love writing, and that's probably one of the main ways that I get that.
Bill has a unique vision for the future of his business, and he plans to expand his portfolio with the strategies he's learned along the way.
The business goals are just to stay in business, just keep doing what I'm doing. You know, the market, as far as real estate is concerned, the market is pretty heated right now. It's pretty competitive. So we're being a bit cautious. We're not just trying to close any old deal. So my partners and I are looking at nicer, newer buildings, typically 100 plus units, B plus, A minus type assets. So we're going to try and grow and purchase as many of those as we absolutely can. That's the goal.
Success comes to those that want it and pursue it without accepting failure as an option. Bill understood that he was responsible for the success or lack of success in his life. He didn't settle, and instead, he took control of his life. He wasn't going to wait around for anyone to come save him.
I would say that it's up to you. No one's going to come save you, and no one's going to do it for you, and no one really honestly cares whether you're successful or not. Don't look for other people to motivate you. Don't look for other people to give you the answer, to give you the path forward. They don't care. They have their own problems and other things to deal with. It's up to you. You know, the cap is not coming. It's up to you. You've got to make the decision to take this on yourself and to go out and do it. Don't wait for someone to do it for you, because it's never going to happen. There's never a right time. There's, you know, it's what we call getting stuck in the once mode. You know, once this occurs, then I'll be good. Once we punch through this, we'll be good. Once I can go over here, and you know, once these things are all perfect, then I'll take action. You get stuck in that once world, and that never, once never comes. That time never comes. So set all that stuff aside. Choose your path and just take action.
Bill wrote a book for anyone who's interested in learning how to buy apartments with creative financing. As Bill puts it, it all starts with refining your problem-solving abilities. And he's proof that you can buy apartments with things like seller financing. Here's how the book can upgrade your real estate tool belt.
It's called Creative Cash. It is on Amazon Kindle and Audible. It's on Amazon Kindle and Audible. You get all three versions. It is a step-by-step process of how to use creative financing to solve problems in real estate so that you can create value for a seller instead of having a ton of cash in which to get started. Because when I got started, I had no money. You know, and I'm not saying these are no money down techniques. They are not. They are problem solving down. They are value down techniques. But if you read the book, you'll really learn how to go into the world, how to look at a problem and look at a piece of real estate to see if there is an opportunity for you to create value through solving a problem. It does not work on all deals. It does not work for all sellers, but it is a way to increase your probability of closing a deal. It's a way of increasing your chances, and that's what it's for.
Bill is one of the only creative finance teachers in the multifamily space. He shared the best ways to reach out to him and learn more about what he does.
I have several different websites. One, I'll give you my email address. It's bill@gobroadwell.com. And Broadwell is B-R-O-A-D-W-E-L-L, bill@gobroadwell.com. You can find me at broadwellpropertygroup.com. If you're an investor and you're looking to potentially do business with us, we have a segment on our website. Just go in there and click that, fill out the questionnaire, and we will be in touch with you directly. And if you're looking for more information on how to do creative financing, besides the book, which is on Amazon, I also have a website called creativeapartmentdeals.com, and you can go there. We have a masterclass you can download, creativeapartmentdeals.com.
Thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. If you got value from this episode, please do us a favor and give us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Make sure to visit our website at www.donisinvestmentgroup.com/monopoly, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you'll never miss a show. If you want to avoid the top 5 mistakes passive investors make, you can also check out our free ebook by going to www.donisinvestmentgroup.com and downloading it. Be sure to tune into our next episode. Until then, take care, guys.